I'll be reading from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. In those days, when the number of the disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word."
Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. Pull out your Bibles, turn over to Psalm 34. We'll be there in a minute. Actually, Psalm 33 and 34 will be where we'll begin in just a moment. It is good to see you this morning. Thank you for being here. Look around. We realize it's probably a holiday week since there's a lot of people missing as we just scan the audience. And we'd encourage you to take note of that and consider those people and reach out to them and let them know they were missed. We also have guests with us here this morning. We're so thankful you are here. And it is certainly appreciated. You've encouraged us. We hope you'll be encouraged with us this morning as you worship with us. If you're from the community looking for a place to call home, we would actually suggest you found that this morning and encourage you to talk to one of our shepherds about being a part of this work and laboring here in this community. As we begin, I have a guest survey card to read for our members. For those who are visiting, what this is your first-time guest, you'll get a letter and you'll get one of these in the mail and ask you how we're doing so we can make sure that we're treating our guests the right way. So as we begin, what did you notice first? It says how big the building was and the friendliness of all the people. What did you like the most? The atmosphere with the people greeting one another. What did you like the least? And I'm going to read this and listen. The singing was not loud enough with all the people. Were we friendly? You're a very friendly congregation. You are blessed to have the Mohair family. Obviously, Brent has been slipping people money again. Other comments. Everyone was not singing. Put more enthusiasm into your singing. Apparently, we didn't sing out loud enough the day that those folks were here, and so we want to change that and sing out as we praise and worship God. I encourage you to think about those things. We're going to begin this week a series on prayer for a couple of weeks. We'll take a break next week, and we'll do our theme for the year on the fourth Sunday. But we're going to talk about prayer this morning, and we're going to get right into talking about prayers of worship. As we begin, I want you on your outline, if you have that, I want you to draw a circle, which means it probably looks more like an egg, but draw a circle, and I want you to divide up your prayer life in 4 areas and a pie chart. Here's the 4 areas if you want to write those down. Worship, it's number 1, worship. And worship is praise and thanksgiving, adoration, in case you don't understand that. Secondly, confession, prayers of confession. That's when you confess your sins to God. Thirdly, petition, and those are your requests to God for yourself, and intercession, which is generally a petition for other people. So we have worship, confession, petition, intercession. Now draw yourself a pie chart of what your prayer life looks like. If it's a whole pie, are you evenly spaced between the 4? Does one get a more dominant role than perhaps another? How does that look? I want you to take a moment for that. And then let's just consider what yours might look like. Maybe you have an equally divided chart. I imagine that's the easiest. And perhaps you think that's the best way to go in case this is a test and I'm looking over your shoulder, that they should all 4 be evenly and equally spaced. And the reality is that's just not true. So if this was a test and that's how you did it, you just got an F. And the reason for that is that as much as we think that is balanced, it's pretty lopsided. And we'll understand that more as we go through this. Maybe you think to yourself, well, you know what, intercession's about other people and we're supposed to love other people more than ourselves. So I'm more about intercession than I am about anything else. And I think that's noble that you think about other people first. But the reality is, I'm not sure that that's what we should look like. I'll tell you, if we're honest, it probably looks more like this. And that is a heavy emphasis on petition. I don't know if you've thought about it, but the majority of the time that we pray about stuff for us. We say the word I a whole lot in our prayers. Or me. Or maybe we and us. And again, that's probably not the best either. And if, by the way, yours is confession, that's the majority of the time, I would like to see you with the elders afterwards about your life of sin. Because the reality is, if you're confessing that much, you have a lot to change and we need to help you. And what all that says is really this. The majority of our time in prayer should probably, if you haven't figured this out already, should probably be spent worshiping God. And I think that's one of the things that perhaps we need to look at this morning a little closer. And you look at some, and we're not going to read a lot of Psalms, but just a couple of places in the Psalms that help us kind of understand that, like Psalm 33, 1 and 2. Shout for the joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord. Shout for joy in the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. And look at chapter 34 and verses 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I love that passage. We should be willing to bless the Lord at all times, praise him continually, boast in the Lord, magnify the Lord with me. Now, if you are honest, the majority of the time, the way we think we magnify the Lord together is through what we did a few moments ago, singing. When we think about praising God, we think about songs of praise. But we need to understand that prayer is praise as well. And I like what Psalm 33 and verse 1 says. Praise befits the upright. Praise is a benefit to the righteous people. I'm not sure that myself in my personal prayer life always understand the need to praise and worship God. And part of that is, I think for most of our lives, we've been taught that prayer is a part of worship. Or maybe the way that's been described is it is an act of worship. In fact, it's one of five acts of worship. If you're like me, you've been taught for most of your life, there's five things we do at worship. We sing, we pray, we give, we partake of the Lord's Supper, and we listen to the boring sermon. And all of that together makes up worship. And yet, well, unless it's on Wednesday night, and then it's just singing and praying, and there's only really two acts of worship, but most of the time, there's five. And so because of that training and upbringing, what we kind of think to ourselves is, well, prayer is part of worship. I want to make sure you understand something this morning. Prayer isn't part of worship. It is worship. It is worship. And I want us to help understand this morning how we can worship God better individually and collectively in our prayers. And one of the ways that it is worship is we worship when we give a prayer of thanksgiving. Now, I know it's Thanksgiving week, and if you haven't figured out, by the way, my favorite holiday of all time is Thanksgiving. And it's very simple why. And that's why Barry's laughing. He's the same way. We eat better this week than we do ever again for another 51 weeks. Your mom heard that. Like, it's bad when I say things, but now you're joining in the fray, son. The reality is that Thanksgiving needs to be something that we do more than just once a year. You know, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, there's that prayer that tells you not to worry about anything, not to be anxious for anything. And it tells us there what? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. No. What it says there is, let in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. We are supposed to offer thanksgiving with our prayers. And another passage we often read is 1 Thessalonians 5:17, because it's really easy to read or quote, pray without ceasing. But we forget verse 18 that says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Listen, prayer is always supposed to include thanksgiving. And there is just a need to have the ability to express our gratitude. There are some people, by the way, I think have a knack for that, who are very good at expressing thanksgiving in their prayers. And I heard a story about a man that one Sunday had that ability, and the congregation knew that was kind of his talent. And on the Sunday they were meeting, it was a cold day, and the power was out across town, and it was cold in the building, there's no lights, there's no heat, there's no power. And some of them in that dark morning assembly wondered, what will he pray for today? And he began his prayer by saying this, "Oh Lord, we're so thankful that every day is not like this one." We need to be thankful and learn how to express our thanks and give God thanks for what he does. The story is told of a church where the preacher put in the end of the year statistics in the bulletin, missing at sea, 9. And that disturbed everybody because they didn't know of anybody that was missing at sea. And so somebody asked, and he said, "Well, over the course of a year, 11 of you have asked us to pray for your loved ones going to sea, but only 2 have reported they returned safely. So I assumed that there were 9 still missing." And you may laugh about that, but the reality is sometimes we forget to be thankful. Early on, as I was beginning to work with a church in Middle Tennessee and kind of the infantile stages of my life as an evangelist, I remember going to a hospital with a family. They were all Christians, and it was kind of the normal routine. It was going to be a long day, long surgery. And as they began to wheel the mother out of the room, and here's all the children. Of course, they do the typical thing. They ask the preacher to pray. And so I prayed. And then we waited. And I'll never forget that we were down, a couple of us, in the cafeteria when we got the news that the surgery was successful. And we were so thankful. And everybody was filled with joy. And one of the sisters stopped everything and literally stopped us all with her hands and said, "Stop. Before we do anything else, we must pray and give thanks to God for answering our prayers." And I have to tell you that we're not always like that, because I've been in the same scenes at other times where people don't even think about offering thanks for the prayers that have been answered. And it reminds me of Luke chapter 17. You might remember that in Luke chapter 17, where Jesus heals 10 lepers. And at the end of that, only one returns to thank him. And in verse 17, he says, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Let me ask you this morning, are you the 1 or are you the 9? Are you grateful or do you take things for granted? I really think we ought to be more like kids sometimes. I remember when our kids were little, all of them did this. We would put them to bed and it was time to say prayers and they would want to say their prayers. And quite frankly, since that's probably between, depending on the age of your child, 7:30 to 8:30 in your practices, as a parent, and especially, so let's say, Monday night in the fall, there could be something that you think is more pressing than bedtime prayers. And so really what you want to do is you want to get in and get out. And yet, your 4-year-old decides it is time to give thanks in his bedtime prayer. And by give thanks, I mean literally give thanks for everything he can see. Thank you for my teddy bear. Thank you for my bed. Thank you for my sheets. Thank you for my pillow. Thank you for my pillowcase. Now, you and I know that in some ways what he is doing there is he is trying to delay going to bed. And Satan, at the same time, is using your 4-year-old to tempt you to tell him, "Just say in Jesus' name, the Packers are playing." And yet the reality is sometimes because we are so busy in life, we just want to run right through our prayers and get back to what we're doing. Maybe what we need to do is be a little more like a 4-year-old that steps back and takes time and really counts our many blessings. We sing that song. When it comes to prayer, you know what we normally say? Something like, Thank you, God, for providing all of our needs, both physical and spiritual. I'm not sure that that is really how we count our blessings. I remember when we got married that we had, for those who don't know, we had a kind of a large wedding. My wife wasn't in favor of this, but I think there were 450 people there. I got a big family. And the easiest thing to do, by the way, for all of those gifts and everything we got would be just to go to the printer and have some generic thank you note written that said, "Dear friend, thank you for the kind gift I will give you when I will think of you when I use it," which, by the way, is a lie. "We appreciate your generosity for us, the Francises." And I guess we could do that. We could go out and we could print up 500 thank you notes. We could just slide them in the envelope and stamp them and send them out. But instead, what do? We sit down, and by hand, we wrote over 450 thank you notes. And by we, I mean Duane did. Why? Because a generic thank you doesn't carry any weight. I mean, think about that. If you got a generic form letter thank you card from somebody that you gave them whatever they asked for at Target, and all they could do is give you a printed card? I think sometimes our prayers are like that when it comes to thanks. I think we're too generic in our thanksgiving to God. Thank you, God, for all of our many blessings. Thank you for everything you've done for us. I wonder if God wouldn't appreciate if we were more earnest in listing the ways that He has actually taking care of us. I want you to think about that in your personal prayer life. Think about the ways that God has answered your prayers and be thankful. Think about the ways He has blessed you that you've not even asked for and be thankful. Give thanks to God in your prayer. It's a form of worship. And the other form of worship is just prayers of praise. I think the highest form of praying is praying prayers of praise. Halsby said, "Praise lies on a higher plane than thanksgiving. When I give thanks, my thought still circles about me, but in praise, my soul climbs to self-forgetting adoration, seeing and praising only the majesty of God and His power and grace and redemption." Praise is harder than thanksgiving. Because when it comes to praise, what you're really doing is you're trying to be completely and absolutely selfless in your prayers. There is still a form of self in thanksgiving because you're still thinking of the ways God has blessed you, but offering a prayer of praise is just praising God without reference to yourself. In other words, a prayer of praise is not, "Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. I'm grateful for the relationship that I have with you." In other words, really what we're saying is that there is no I in a prayer of praise. Prayer of praise is talking about God and who He is. And I'll be honest with you, I think this is the least used type of prayer among us. We only do this kind of twice a year now, the praise and prayer service. At one time we did that once a month, and we kind of cut that back and done some other things. But I remember that every time we did that, we would have a prayer of praise to begin every one of those assemblies. And we would assign you, some of you, the assignment of praying a prayer of praise. And I would sit back and I would listen to your prayers of praise. And I have to be honest with you, the reality is the majority of us just aren't very good at that because we always come back. And we'll talk more about this later on in a couple of weeks. A lot of times we come back to our same repetitious phrases that are more about us than God. But even those prayers of praise, they turn into more thanksgiving because we still have to think through the lens of self rather than just praising God. It's hard to leave me out of the picture. It's hard to just talk about God and who God is. hard to go to God in prayer and say, listen, I don't want anything. I don't have a bad case of the gimmies. I'm not here to even give you thanks for what it is that you've given me. I just want to praise you. And by the way, someone once described praise as a personal love letter to God. I don't even think that is correct because it still has me in the picture. I wonder sometimes in my prayer life if God doesn't think the minute I bow my head and close my eyes, well, here comes Terry. I already know what he's going to say. Or here's Terry. What does he want this time? And I wonder how shocked he is when I bow my head and I pray a prayer of praise that says nothing more than, God, all I want to do is praise you. No petitions, no wants, no requests, no intercessions. Just adoration and praise. There are some great examples of this found in Scripture, by the way. And they're throughout Scripture. And if you've not looked at many of those, I'd encourage you to do that and to take the time to read those. One that's not on your outline that I want you to turn to just for a moment is in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, there is a beautiful prayer of praise offered by David. And in the United Kingdom class just this last week, we were reading this. And we will not read all of it, but beginning in verse 10, David says, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and power and glory and victory and majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you. You rule over all. In your hand are power and might. In your hand it is to make great, to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name." He goes on to say, "Who am I and what is my people that we should be able to thus to offer willingly?" And he turns to self a little bit, but I want you to notice that introduction and just the words of praise. For all of those words in the beginning of that, none of it is about self, but rather about God's greatness and power and glory. Praise. Can I encourage you to do something in your prayer life? That is to take passages like this, and some others we'll read in just a moment, and incorporate them into your own prayers. Pray Scripture. Use these words in your prayer life in order to train you how to pray. And in this area specifically, how to praise. I've heard some people, by the way, and maybe you've thought this way, that, well, we shouldn't do that. We should never offer the words of someone else and even God's Bible in our prayers. I disagree with that, by the way, and let me illustrate it this way. I think if we can sing the words of other people in our songs, which we do all of the time without thought, and we offer that up as praise to God, why can't we do that with Scripture? It's kind of similar to buying a greeting card, by the way. One card I never buy when I go buy a card, for my wife even, is I never buy the blank one. You've seen those, right? You know why I never buy the blank one? It's because if I was good at writing cards, that's what I do for a living. I'd get paid for that. But there's some person who does a better job of that than I am. So what I always do, and by the way, most guys do that, is we look for the card that most adequately already represents. We use somebody else's words for us. And we sign that and we give that. And we do that with our songs as well. That we take the words of a poet or an author who wrote these words about God, and we sign our name to that, and we offer it up to God. If we can do that with songs, why can't we do that with prayer? Here's some other great passages then to add to your list that you could use. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 6. Listen to how this states, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you." Or how about 2 Samuel chapter 22? We'll start in verses 1 through 4, then skip down to verse 31. David spoke to the Lord in the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he says, starting in verse 2, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I will take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Skip down to verse 31. This God, His way is perfect. The way of the Lord proves true. He's a shield for all those who take refuge in Him. For who is God but the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? What fantastic words. And we find ourselves in the need to praise God. It's these kinds of words we should use. Here's some other you can write down. I didn't put in your outline. We're not going to read. Psalm 100. That's a good one. Psalm 103. Psalm 104. And here's a great passage, by the way, for just beginning a prayer. One of my favorites, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 17. Listen to this. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Wow, what a way to start a prayer. We can learn how to pray by using those prayers that have been recorded already for us. And all of this is important because praising God will end up making us more like God. Praising God and listing and stating all of the things that are wonderful and great about Him is the best way for us to become more like Him. It's not a magical thing. It's not some hocus pocus kind of thing. But it's just the fact that as we continually list all of the great things about Him, and remind ourselves of His glory and His majesty, it helps us to achieve those kinds of things in our life. Here's a great quote. Prayer changes things, but more often prayer changes prayers. See, if I praise God's mercy, how can I not then be merciful? If I praise Him for His undeserved love He's offered all of mankind, how can I not love those who don't deserve it? If I praise Him for His honesty, how can I not then be honest? If I praise Him for His purity, how can I not then be pure? As I praise God for the things that make Him God, I begin to be able to mold myself more clearly into His mold. I want you to realize something. You are more blessed than any generation that has ever existed on the face of the earth. And in many ways, but one of the ways that we are more blessed is in our availability to reach out and have a Bible and the Scriptures at our disposal at any time. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, you can go buy a printed Bible from Kroger. It's that simple. And you can pick up your phone or your iPad or your computer. And even if you don't have an app, you can go to a website and you can read the Word at any time. You have more access to people preaching the Word than ever before through podcasts and online sermons you can download. The reality is you could listen to sermons 24 hours a day, not just when you're trying to go to sleep at night. And you could have, some of you are asleep, you didn't get that already. You can have the Word of God at your disposal at any time. But for some reason, despite our access to all of that, I just don't think we're as spiritual as our ancestors were that we read about in Scripture. And maybe that's because we don't praise God the way they did. Because when I read those passages that I either referenced or quoted earlier, we don't pray that way. And we should. And I think there's an untapped potential in our prayer lives to change us and mold us into something greater than we are. And I think that's because our prayers focus so much on intercession and petition. We don't spend enough time praising God. I want to challenge you this week to set up a time every day that you go into the presence of God for no other reason than to just praise Him. Don't ask for anything. Don't make any request at all for yourself or somebody else. You can do that at another time that day. And it is okay to pray more than once a day. Set up a time once a day where you only praise God in your prayers. And maybe as we do that in our lives, we can become more like Him. Now, that's hard to do. So let me give you some suggestions to help out with that, and then we'll be done. The first of those is, start your sentences with you and not I. One of the more popular prayer forms of the 21st century is the I just prayer. You heard that before? I just want to tell you this, God. I just want to thank you for this. I just want to say this. It's a pretty popular way we pray. And what I want you to do is I want you in your prayers of praise to just remove the I's from your prayer. Only talk about God. And the only pronouns you should use then about anyone is you, because you're talking to Him. So if you're only going to talk about Him, then you talk about you and not I. Secondly, use the various names of God to launch into your praise. For instance, instead of just starting every prayer as "Our Father who's in heaven," which is perhaps the most common way, because that's how Jesus taught His disciples to pray, reference Him by some of His other roles and names, like Creator, and pray a prayer of praise about Him and His role as Creator. Or how about His role as the sustainer of life, or our Redeemer? Have you ever thought about those roles and what they mean? For instance, Creator, not that He just kind of spoke everything into existence and created this big ball that we live on, but more than that, that how it works perfectly in the cycles of the tides and the moons and the days and the cloud and the sun and the animals and everything around us, and how it works in perfect harmony. God created all of that. And you can praise Him for being the Creator and what that means. Praise Him for His love. Praise Him for being our rock and our deliverer and our refuge, as we read about earlier. Isn't He your refuge in times of need? Isn't it God who you go to? Praise Him for that. Isn't it God who is the deliverer, who has delivered us out of our greatest darkness and storms of life? Praise Him for that. But do so without referencing yourself. And then finally, use Scripture in your prayers of praise. Use some of those Scriptures we looked at earlier, like 1 Timothy 1:17, 1 Chronicles 29, 2 Samuel 22. Use those Scriptures to help you learn how to pray prayers. And in addition to that, I would suggest to you that if you don't want to use Scripture, you can use some of the great songs that we sing to be able to pray. And some of the great words that have been written by others. There are many ways to praise God and offer up adoration to Him. I challenge you to pray prayers of praise this week so that your pie chart looks more like this. The greatest section of your prayer life becomes worship. And that the sections about yourself become smaller. And that your prayer revolves around God more than you. I will tell you, that's not going to be easy. Because the reality is, we're more like our kids at the store than we are anything else. We walk through life and we see we want some of this and some of that. And can I have this? What about this, Daddy? Well, can I get this? And that's really how we've done in our prayer life. I challenge you to do less of that and more of praising God. Let's close by praying together, if you will. Jehovah, our mighty God and our Creator, our Redeemer, the sustainer of our life. Your name is great, and you are powerful. You are majestic in all of your ways. To you belongs our praise this morning and our devotion. You have created all that we see, and in your hand you control all of life. You have breathed into us the life that we have. And beyond that, you have taken care of our life by providing all that is needed. You have loved us enough to create this world that we live in. And you have loved us enough to provide all of the things that sustain life and all of the blessings that we enjoy when we do not give thanks. You have loved us enough to send your Son as a sacrifice, even when we didn't deserve it. We thank you, God. You have overwhelmed us with your love. You have overwhelmed us with mercy and grace, and you have overwhelmed us with power. We are humbled that you have overwhelmed us today by being here in our presence as we praise and worship you. To you belong all glory and honor and praise, and we offer that to you this morning through your Son. Amen. We will meet for classes at 5 till. Kids' drill is going to be down front immediately right now.